Howdy, folks. It's time for another CoastaGallery.com podcast. My name is Joel Rogers. I'm the host for today. And this is number 1207 for July 7th, 2012. This week, we're going to talk about Dorney Park. I visited there about a month ago. We're going to talk about the debate, the photography debate, RAW versus JPEG. What's the right format to shoot in? And then I'm going to give you a brief hint of some of the places I traveled to last week and where I'm going this week. So a month ago, I visited Dorney Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania. That's about an hour and a half north of Philly. And that's a great little park, although I shouldn't say it's a little park. They have eight coasters: Stinger, Possessed, Hydra, Talon, Wild Mouse, Woodstocks Express, and Thunderhawk. It's a great variety from Invertigos. We've got the Intamin Shuttle Launch. We've got a B&M Floorless, a B&M Inverted. We've got a Morgan Hypercoaster. There's a Wild Mouse. There's a Kitty Ride. There's a 1920-something. I got to check my notes. 1920-something wooden coaster. So there's a lot of neat history. While I was at the park, I talked to Carrie Basta, who's the director of the public relations there, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about Dorney Park. So let's go to my interview there, live, just standing outside of Talon. All right, I'm standing here at Dorney Park, and I have Carrie, who's going to give us just a brief description. So Carrie, you said the park's pushing 130 years old now?
Yeah, we were founded in 1884, started as a trout hatchery, and they kind of just started adding some more entertainment value to it by a couple rides. They brought in a ballroom and things like that that were, you know, popular in those older amusement parks, and it's grown into what it is today.
Okay. And the new ride just opened, what, 2-3 weeks ago, a Stinger. Can you describe Stinger, since this is an audio-only podcast? What is Stinger?
Absolutely. Stinger's a 138-foot boomerang coaster. It's by Vekoma, and it definitely takes you through a whole bunch of different ranges of emotions, I guess you could say. The best part about it is it's a face-to-face coaster, so you're facing the people that you're riding with. So you really do get to face your fears with your friends. It takes you up the coaster, it goes through a cobra roll, a couple different loops, you go through it backwards and then forwards. You can actually flip-flop that depending on how you're sitting in the train. So if you want to go forwards first, you can. If you want to go backwards first, you can. But you get to experience it twice, which is definitely a cool thing to do.
Very cool. I'm going to steal what I read on the billboard. The slogan was, I think, face your fears and your friends, which I love that. And I think there are only two of those in the United States, two of those in Vertigo, so... this one, and I think the other one's in Ohio, so they're really, really uncommon rides. The other new one to me is the floorless one, Hydra. Has a really cool beginning. Can you explain what's unique about the beginning of Hydra?
Absolutely. We actually just had Travel Channel out here at the end of April. We're going to be featuring that coaster on the Insane Coaster Wars coming up this summer. But one of the features that got them on the Wrong Way Up episode is what we call the JoJo roll, which is actually a heartline or a corkscrew roll as you're coming out of the station before you even get up onto the lift. So that it's really cool. They definitely, when designing that coaster, used the terrain that's around the area to be able to do those dips and inversions and things like that, where you're able to do that type of element before you even actually get up on the lift hill or get that type of momentum.
Okay. And here's the real coaster geek question. Do you know why the name Hydra is a good name for that ride? What's the backstory of the name?
Actually, I do, mostly because we just did this taping last week, but when they took down Hercules, we did some research into the Greek mythology, and Hercules defeated Hydra within the Greek mythology, so we kind of wanted to play on that a little bit and have Hydra come back as a Hydra's Revenge, where he defeated Hercules to be able to kind of claim that spot of where the coaster was, because it did replace where Hercules was before.
Excellent. Well, Carrie, I'm looking forward to riding it, because I've not been on that one, I haven't been on Stinger, and I haven't been on, now what's the one from Ohio? What's the shuttle?
Possessed.
Sorry that I can't keep up with the names. So Possessed, there's three rides I'm looking forward to, and I'm obviously going to photograph them, and here comes the shameless plug. All the pictures will be on CoastaGallery.com at some point. So Carrie, thanks for taking the time to show us around, and I'm looking forward to the park.
Not a problem. Have fun.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks again to Carrie for taking some time out of her busy schedule to talk to me about Dorney Park. That is such a really neat park. It's got some cool history. They've got the modern rides, and they also have the 1935 Zephyr train. They've got the 1920-something whip. So it's a neat mix of new versus old. Plus, they've got the huge Wild Water Kingdom. It's a very nice park. It's a good-sized park. It's part of the Cedar Fair chain, so if you have one of their season passes that it lets you in all of the Cedar Fair parks, you can get in there. It's very close to a lot of people there. You really don't hear much about Dorney Park, but it's so close to New York, Philly, D.C. that it's a really nice drive. It's a really quick drive for a lot of fun. I do like the coasters. Hydra was a ton of fun. It's not the biggest floorless coaster, but it's still a great quality ride. And Talon is probably one of my favorite B&M Inverteds. It's hard to rank which is the best because honestly, they're all different. But you know, it's a ton of fun. Steel Force is a decade old. It was one of the few hyper coasters in the world, and it's still one of about only 40 coasters that are over the 200 foot mark. If you go to CoasterGallery.com, read through the pages, look at the text, tells you a lot about the history and the stats of these coasters, and I also lucked out that I was there right at sunset, so I have a lot of nice, real pretty sunset photography there, so I love when the weather cooperates when I'm at the park. I also took a lot of video. I snuck one on YouTube, so if you follow me on Facebook, you've already seen that. If you don't follow me on the Facebook group, you'll just have to wait a little bit longer. I'm getting ready to unveil a little my step from still pictures into video, but we'll get into that another time. So I want to step away from the coasters for a minute and give you a little discussion about photography. I'm going to invite my brother Jeff on board now, and we're going to discuss the differences between RAW versus JPEG.
Okay, let's switch to a brief talk about photography. And with this, I want to introduce Jeff. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello.
How are you supposed to say hello, Jeff? You stink.
Hello, Jeff.
All right, you stink as a straight man.
Don't tell my wife that.
There's so many jokes I could make. If I edit this out, this is going in the bloopers. I'll probably just leave it in because I'm too lazy to edit, though. Talk to me about RAW versus JPEG. There's two formats to shoot in most cameras. Which one do you use?
I have only ever used what is the default on my camera, which I know to be JPEG.
Okay, and I've got my cheat sheet here. Joint Photographic Experts Group.
Ooh, I couldn't have told you that.
Yeah, well, it's a good trivia. You know, if you want to impress your friends, whip that abbreviation out. So, almost everyone uses JPEG these days. Pretty universal. Do you know anything about RAW, why you don't use it?
I have no good reason for not using it, but it's probably just like the same reason people download MP3s instead of getting the full quality file, just because it's easier.
Well, that's a great analogy that a RAW file has a lot more data in it. It's 12 or 14 bit, whereas the JPEG is compressed and it's only down to 8 bit. So if you're worried about disk space, storage card space, JPEG is the way to go. But it's like dealing with a really compressed audio file. There's just not as much information there. A RAW file is going to have a lot more information. It's going to have a lot higher dynamic range. And if you're going to edit that picture any, it's better to start with the RAW file. There's more information in it that you could push it, you could pull it, you could change the white balance, you could change some of the stuff. So that's the advantage. The problem is, if I send you a RAW file, can you open it?
I don't even know.
Probably not, because here's the deal. Every manufacturer uses their own standard. Canon uses one thing. They use CR2 or CRW files. Nikon uses another different type of file, NEF files. And to make it even more confusing, every camera is different. So when I bought a new camera, I shot a bunch of pictures in RAW, and I plugged it into Lightroom, and it says, we don't know this camera yet. So I had to wait a month or so for the software people to get a hold of the camera to literally crack it open to figure out how the file works. Because Canon and Nikon, they don't tell you what their RAW file system is, so somebody has to kind of reverse engineer it. So it's kind of a pain. When you take a picture with JPEG, your camera does some processing. Have you looked at all of what kind of processing it does? Because there's different, like, landscape, portrait, black and white. Have you set up any of that stuff, or are you just...
I'm sure my wife has, because she actually knows stuff about the camera, but I don't.
Okay. I turn that processing off just because when I shoot in RAW, I don't need the camera to think about it and change the JPEG. But for you, you might look into that. You might say, gee, if I'm taking pictures of the kids, I want to put it in portrait mode. And it makes nice, all sorts of pretty flesh tone colors and stuff. If you're outside and taking nice pictures of roller coasters, you might put it in landscape mode, which makes real punchy colors and real saturated and real pretty blues and greens. Like I said, I shoot in RAW and then do that kind of, all those adjustments in the computer, which means it takes a lot of my time, and that's one of the disadvantages of RAW, that the modern camera processes JPEGs pretty well. I'm still enough of a control freak that I like to take that into my computer and tweak every individual picture myself, because the cheap little processor in the camera is not as good as my $200 Lightroom software. But like I said, it also takes a ton of my time. One of the other problems with these RAW formats is, what about the future? That there's no guarantee that the format file you have now is going to be supported in the future. Now, the good news is Camera and Nikon, being the two giants, are probably going to be continued to have support. But if you bought some weird Minolta camera and shot in RAW, guess what? There's no Minolta software anymore. So it's... Yeah, well, some people say that the solution is the digital negative, the DNG, and that's an Adobe thing, and it's open source. So they say you take the RAW file, you put it into whatever software program, and then you output it and save it as this DNG, which they hope has an infinite lifespan. We'll see. I don't know. There are plenty of ways, if you do shoot in RAW, for you to fix it and put it into a different format. You'll most likely use JPEG. You could use TIFF or GIF or PSD or all sorts of other a little more obscure formats. But since you have a Nikon camera there, you got Capture NX free with it, and that's a okay program. I have a Canon sitting in my lap at the moment. That sounds dirty, I'm sorry. I have a Canon camera sitting in my lap at the moment. They have the Digital Photo Professional, or DPP, software. You get the CD, and they update it all the time with the newer stuff. You know what? DPP does a lot of neat editing. Saturation, colors, contrast. It fixes lens issues, that if you have a modern lens and a modern SLR, the two talk to one another, that file information gets baked in, and your computer says, oh, this lens has a little distortion or a little color aberration, and it fixes it automatically. That's the cool thing. The bad thing is it takes forever to do. The better choices for you are probably Lightroom, Photoshop, lots of other software programs that are much more efficient. I will give you one word of warning, Jeff. When you do, and I hope you do start at least playing around with RAW sometime, when you put it in one of these programs, a lot of times, like in especially Lightroom, it will load the little JPEG file first and then show that to you. And then as it loads the RAW file and crunches those numbers, when it puts the RAW file up, it often looks worse. It's a generic, unprocessed, flat or lower contrast picture. So there are a lot of times, especially if you turned on those different presets like landscape. I used to shoot in landscape mode, and I got this really nice, vivid JPEG, and then 3 seconds goes by, and then it brings up the RAW, and it's just flat and looked lifeless. And it took me a while to realize that's normal. That's because it's giving me the unedited, unprocessed. And it's like, you know, going back to your music analogy, no equalization. It's just flat, generic, untouched, unprocessed. Now it's up to you to tweak the highs and the lows and whatever to make it really be what you want to be. For me, I like nice, contrasty, saturated pictures. You might want some nice, generic, flat, low-contrast picture. It's up to you.
Okay.
So there's your assignment. Go out and figure out, A, how to switch to RAW, And then B, what program to use to switch it to JPEG? Because if you send a JPEG to mom and dad, they can open it, no problem. You put it in a website, no sweat. You send mom and dad an NEF or CR2 file, they won't be able to do anything with it.
Okay, very interesting.
Okay, we're going to cut the interview right here because you know what? That audio quality just stinks. So thanks for bearing with me as I'm trying to figure out how to record on Skype. I know it's possible. Other podcasts do it. I just, I know a lot about flying, weather, coasters, photography. I'm clueless when it comes to computers and podcasts, unfortunately. But anyway, to summarize, if you're a control freak, you don't mind working on the pictures, you don't mind converting them into different formats. If you want the ultimate quality and flexibility, shoot in RAW. If you want just a short, quick, easy, already processed picture, shoot in JPEG. If you're trying to get things out on a tight deadline, maybe if you do everything properly in the camera, get the exposure and color balance right, you might be able to get away with JPEG. Go out and try both. Maybe you'll find that RAW is not worth the effort. Who knows? I shoot in RAW, but then again, I'm a control freak and I like tweaking my pictures. I'd also like to hear what you folks want to hear in future episodes of this podcast. This is the 7th one we've done this year. I'm not going to do any music picks tonight, but I'm curious to see if you want us to continue with music, you want us to continue with photography or coasters. All of the three, none of the three, I really want to hear some feedback. So send an email to me, joel@coastergallery.com, or visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/coastergallery. You can get us at Coaster Gallery on Twitter. You can go to coastergallery.com, click on the podcast link. That'll bring you to the show notes. Leave a note. I'm sick of the spam. I would love to hear from a real human because that blog is just loaded with spam, and I would be thrilled to hear some real comments. So let me know, what do you want to hear on future podcasts? Here's the other issue that I have. I'm going to Wisconsin this week. I find myself with one free day in Wisconsin. What should I do? If you were in my shoes, would you go to the Dells? I've been there, so there are not a lot of new coasters, but I could go back and re-photograph some that I took like 6, 7, 8 years ago. I would like to think my photography is better now. I could also go up to Green Bay and ride the new wooden coaster that, well, I say new, it was relocated from Memphis's Liberty Land. It was known as Elvis's favorite coaster, and they've saved it from demolition when the park closed about 6, 8 years ago. It's a pretty far drive from where I'm going, but if you really want to see it, I'll go ahead and make the effort. Study it, document it. Of course, I'm going to ride it. Put the pictures on Coaster Gallery so you all can check it out. I will tell you a little hint on what's coming up on Coaster Gallery. Guess where I was last week? I was in Michigan. Again, I had one whole day to kill. So I started in Saginaw and did Kokomo's Family Entertainment Center, Family Fun Center. I got a nice little Wildcat Pinfari type ride. And then I went to the other side of the state to Muskegon, and I hit Michigan's Adventure. I can't believe it's been 11 years since I've been there. That makes me feel kind of old, but it's been over a decade, and honestly, don't even look at the pictures I have up for Michigan's Adventure now, because they stink. I've improved a lot in the last 12 years, so I'm looking forward to editing those pictures. Again, I shot in RAW, so guess what? I got some work to do, but I'll get them up and then have some nice pithy things to say in the text above each picture, so give me a little bit. Keep checking back to CoasterGallery.com. I'll post those as soon as I can. Of course, this time of year, I'm kind of busy writing coasters, so the delays just keep building. So thanks for your patience. Anyway, thanks for listening this week. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I would love to hear your feedback. What do you want to hear in future episodes? That's it for now. I'm off to go ride coasters tomorrow. I hope you go ride some coasters or go take some pictures or go listen to music or whatever you do to have fun. Go have fun this week. Bye-bye now.
So here's where I pause and try and think what I should have said. I think I covered it all. Oh, let me do one more thing while I'm thinking about it, and I'll probably edit this out. Nah, I was going to say some cameras can shoot in both at the same time, but that's kind of higher end stuff. Okay, so I'm going to stop recording.